And Macon pursued by Simmons. What a play by Ben Simmons. Burke denied by Bolden. And ultimately, Simmons fouling Burke. But what a play by Simmons and Bolden. Consecutive blocks that time. That may have been the fastest 40 feet Ben Simmons has ever covered.
You know what I love, too, is Jonah not standing there and watching, assuming that he can be proactive and contribute in that play, too. He gets a piece of the next block.
How you going? That's right, man. It is NBA Strayer. It is Tuesday, April 2. And I am your host, James Clements. I'm a writer for Rolling Stone, Triple J, Junkie, Red Bull Mag, and whoever else wants to pay me that sweet, sweet walking around stuff. And I'm here in Larry Armour Studios letting you know who's doing what, where they're doing it, why they're doing it. Of course, who's doing it better than Lonzo Ball in the NBA today as we break down and wrap up after every single day of NBA action while repping Strayer. Just a little bit, mate. That's what we do. All right, so fun NBA day to talk about today. A bit of playoff maneuvering for you. Some great games, some big highlights, and a new uniform for one of the Australian players. So that'll all be covered with the usual dumbassery. If that's not enough, old mate, no mates. Spud of the night, better than Lonzo Ball. There's, of course, yeah, nah. There's the unpopular opinion of the day. And there's our back takehouse, where we're serving up a flame grill take. We've also got a brand new Mark Bradke Memorial Sweaty Hairy Guy of the Week, and you where in the world is? And plus, thanks to Sports Tips Australia, there's a look at all the odds and pick and preview for all the games tomorrow with a couple of sweet tips thrown in for you. And we're going to close out today's show with a brand new Jingles HR. He answers a question from Cool Jimmy D in New York City. It's pretty great. All right, it's NBA Strayer episode 256. Let's go.
This is Mitch Creek, and you're listening to NBA Australia.
Watch out for the Shaq attack.
Wow, you better. You better watch out for the attack of the flying Josh Pacey Jackson if you're Brandon Knight. Jesus, how good was that? Nice. All right, we're going to start today's show the way we start every show here at NBA Australia with the daily whip around. I had a fun day in the NBA, so a bit of news. We had the final four of tanking tonight, which is pretty fun. We had Chicago, the four seed at New York, the one seed, and then Cleveland. That's right, Stephen A. Smith.
Cleveland!
At Phoenix, which is pretty funny. They're the two and three seeds, respectively. And that was awesome. That was fun. Some horrible basketball was played. Other news, LeBron James will reportedly have a full basketball court built on set at Space Jam 2 so he can train while filming the movie this summer. Just like Michael Jordan did back in the olden days. Nice. Other news, the Brooklyn Nets and his staff are apparently completing contract extensions with the Brooklyn Nets, which is pretty good, I guess, considering the Nets have gotten better each year he's been in charge. It just makes sense, I guess. Not entirely sure about his, like, tactical nous, but at least his development stuff has worked out pretty damn well, right? I mean, how much better has D'Angelo Russell been since he got to Brooklyn? Caris LeVert has come along in leaps and bounds. Even Rondae Hollis-Jefferson's been pretty bloody good. Jared Allen's kind of maybe plateaued a little bit this year, but he's been a little bit better defensively and offensively. So, yeah, good on you, Kenny. That's pretty great. And obviously, very sadly, James Harden was excused from Houston Rockets practice today due to personal reasons. That was after the shooting death of Nipsey Hussle. That sucked. Jesus. And the final bit of news is about the Extreme Zinger Burger. That's right, the Supercharged Zinger Burger.
Supercharged Zinger Burger.
Kristaps Porzingis, that's came out today from Woj. He wrote, ESPN obtained a series of text messages between the woman and Porzingis. The lady who was accusing Porzingis of sexual assault, and as well as emails between her and the Knicks. The texts and emails portray a woman who wanted to pursue a romantic relationship with Porzingis in the aftermath of the alleged assault in February 2018, but who also wanted him to honor what she says was his commitment to contribute $68,000 to a college fund for her brother. According to the emails, the woman who lived in the same apartment building as Porzingis told the Knicks that she went to Porzingis' apartment to get his autograph in the late night hours after Porzingis suffered a serious knee injury at MSG. After what the woman told the Knicks was an extremely aggressive encounter, she said Porzingis agreed to co-sign a statement with her that promised his payment of $68,000. Porzingis' attorney, Roland Giropapale, said in a statement to ESPN he believes the document is a forgery. Wow, is this fucking story wild and everywhere, and I don't know what to think, make of it what you will, but all I know is...
This is horrible!
Hey, Jesus Christ. All of it sounds like a big fucking mess for everybody involved. But injury news, Jonas Valanciunas, my name is Jonas, is out for the rest of the season. After a grade 2 right ankle sprain, we mentioned this yesterday, came down pretty hard in it for the Grizzlies. After he was traded from Toronto to Memphis, he averaged just a lazy 20 points, 10.7 rebounds, and 1.6 blocks. He was smashing it with my name is Jonas. All right, some wraps for today. We had a massive day. Was it 9 games? Wild. Detroit basketball Pistons went into Indiana. Pacers. Wow, it's a lot of car ones there. 111-102 Indy win against Detroit. Tough loss for Detroit. Luckily for them, Brooklyn also lost. So handy win for Indiana. Kept them on pace with the Celtics. They briefly jumped up to the 4 seed before the Celtics beat Miami today. So for the Pistons, no Blake Griffin. So Big Schlong Kung Fu Thon McCur got the start. The Aussie in a massive game too. Had 14 points, 6 rebounds, 2 assists and 4 blocks. Also hurdled Bojan Bogdanovic. That's right, he straight up hurdled a 6'8" Croatian. That is unreal, aren't you, Thon? Big Wayne Ellington, he had 26 points. Reggie Jackson had 22 points as well. I mean, that was pretty cool. That's certainly something that he'd do. Sounds like Reggie Jackson. Andre Drummond had 18 points and 17 rebounds to go with 5 assists and 4 steals, but it just wasn't enough for the Pistons. The Pacers, they had 19 from each of Bojan Bogdanovic and Thad Young. Bojan chucked in 7 rebounds and 6 assists and got hurdled. That was pretty cool. Miles Turner had 17 points, 3 steals, and 5 blocks. And Domantas Sabonis, the Souvlaki King. He had 18 points, 12 rebounds, 3 assists, and was awesome. Oh, you have the combination of meat. Thanks, Domantas. Yeah, just easy on the tomatoes. Thanks, mate. Yeah, the chicken and the lamb. Yep, yeah, cheers. Thanks, mate. Tyreek Evans had 13 points, and Dougie McBuckets chucked in 11 as well. Indiana looked pretty damn good in this one. It was wild. Detroit, they're now 39-38. Currently still in the 6th spot in the East, though. And Indiana are in 5th with 46-32. Miami lost in Boston 110-105 to the Celtics. Wild game. The Celtics were up by 23 and nearly gave up the ghost across the second half, which was nuts. That was all thanks to the Slovenian flog, Goran Dragic. He had 30 points, 5 assists, and 5 steals against the Celtics. And Kyrie Irving's defense, air quotes, bam! Adebayo chucked in 19 points, 14 rebounds, 2 assists, and 2 blocks. Kelly the Hoosier Olynyk, he's back in Boston, popping shoulders out, no doubt. 14 and 6 for him. Deion Waiters Island had 14 points on 14 shots, and D-Wade had 17 on 17 shots in probably his last visit as a professional basketball player to Boston. There you go. For the Celtics, average Al Horford had the second triple-double of his entire career. He had 19 points, 11 rebounds, and 10 assists. He was awesome. Kyrie Irving had 25 points, 8 rebounds. Marcus Smart had 16. Jason Tatum, the rich man's Harrison Barnes, had 19, 6, and 5. And bangers Aaron Baines had 11 man-sized rebounds. Gordon Hayward had a dainty 11 points. And Mook Morris shot 3 of 11 for 8 points. Yeah, Boston tried their hardest to give this game away. Came up winners anyway. Nice. Miami, they're 38-39. They're 8th in the East. And Boston, a 4th at 46-32. Milwaukee, I hear it's our Algonquin for the good land. 131 winners over Brooklyn, 121 in Brooklyn. Brooklyn came all the way back on a 29-6 run in the second quarter. Made this very, very, very tight as the Bucks rested Chris O'Middleton and Tony, our Dark Lord Snell. For the Nets, it was Sweet Beaver Cats. Caris LeVert, the most he's scored since he got hurt. He had 24 points in this game. And 6 assists looked bloody good too. D'Angelo basically sank Brooklyn though. He went 9 of 27. Jesus. 4 of 12 from 3 for his 28 points. Damari Carroll had 20 as well before banging his head late. Joe Harris, he had 17. And Spencer Dinwiddie had a quiet one. 12 points. Not great for Spencer. Look, Bucks basically crushed him. You know, I don't know what to tell you. It was pretty wild. It was like, oh, look, they're a bit in it. And then they just weren't. It was pretty sad. Brooklyn needed to win this, but it was Giannis Antetokounmpo. He had 28 points, 11 rebounds. Shot 9 of 23, but he's still pretty bloody good. Eric Bledsoe put on a bled show, though. He had 29 points, 5 rebounds, 7 assists, 5 steals. He was awesome. 14 for Sterling Brown, 22 for Georgie Porgy Hill. There you go. Bucks win. They're now 58 and 20. Brooklyn dropped to 39 and 39. Hanging on desperately to the 7th seed in the East. Chicago went into the New York Knickerbockers of New York City's mecca of basketball and lost 113-105 in Tanktown. This was one of the craziest sets of starting fives you'll ever see in the NBA. The Bulls started Walt Lemon Jr., Shaq Harrison, TLC, the Timothy Luau Cabarro, and Wayno Seldon, as well as Robin Lopez. So that's one NBA player. And the Knicks had Luke Cornet, Kevo Knox, Mitch Robinson, Emmanuel Manny Moutier, and Damian Dotson. It's the NBA. I really love this game. Wow, Tanktown between two of the four worst teams in the NBA. But I mean, sure, Robin Lopez dominated. He had 29 points. But the Knicks, there was a lot of scoring from everywhere. Cornet had 24. Luke Cornet. I can't remember what I call him. The Cornetto boy. There we go. Cornetto. Yeah, 24 points. Oh, that's a tasty one. Kevo Knox had 19 and 9. Mitchie Robinson had a massive game. 14 points, 10 rebounds, 4 assists, and 3 blocks. He's awesome. Manny Moutier chucked in 17, 5 and 4. And Damian Dotson at 18, 6 and 6. There you go. Knicks protecting home court late in the season. Chicago, 21 and 57. Knickerbockers, 15 and 62. All right, Orlando. The Magic went into Toronto to play the Raptors, and they lost. Toronto win 121-109. The Magic men, Vooch had 13 and 13 with 3 assists. Evan, don't Google me. Fournier had 21-4-4. Reggie Wundu, he had 16 points on 7-7 shooting. T-Ross had a shocker against his old team. We'll talk about that in a second. And Aaron Gordon had 6 points. Ugh. Raptors, they shot 50% from the field, 41 points from their bench. Danny, not the boxer green, at 29, went 7 of 10 from 3. Kawhi. He went 15, 7 and 5, no problems. Kyle Lowry at 12, 6 and 7. Marc Gasol, the coach here, had 13, 4 and 4. And Serge Ibaka had 15, 5 and 6. No one played more than 28 minutes. That's what you want for Toronto. You're just kind of cruising along, smashing Orlando. Orlando really needed to win this, couldn't do it. Really disappointing one, actually, from them. Defense just fell off a fucking cliff in the second quarter. 38 and 40 they are now. They are half a game back from the Heat in ninth. And Toronto, 55 and 23. Portland, they beat Minnesota in Minnesota, 132-122. The Wolves, they didn't play Mitch Creek. Their new signing, the new Australian, which is probably why they lost. Just saying. Big Karl Anthony Towns, he had 17-12 with 4 assists and 2 blocks. Andrew Wigo Wiggins, he had 21. The homie Dario Saric had 13. Gorgie Dang at 18 off the bench. For the Blazers, Enes the Penis Kanter. He had 20 points, 11 rebounds, and 5 blocks. Jesus, who needs Yusuf Nurkic, huh? I mean, the Blazers, because Kanter is a giant spud. But still, Dame got 15 points in this. He was 6-17 shooting after about being, 3-14, I think, at one point. He also chucked in 12 assists, though. Rodney the Spud Hoodie had 21, and Seth the Shit One Curry had 19 points. Shot 5-9 from 3, like he Freaky Friday'd himself with his goddamn brother. And Evan Turner, we're going to talk about him in a second, but damn, a triple-double off the bench. Unbelievable stuff. Absolutely wild. All right, Minnesota now 34 and 43. Portland hanging in tough in third in the West, 49 and 28. Philly, speaking of third, Philly are third in the East, but didn't look like it today against the Dallas Mavericks, 122-102. Philly lose. This was gross from the Sixers. No Embiid or no Jimmy Butts for the Sixers. They shot 6 of 33 from 3 for 3. JJ Redick hit 4 of those. Yeah, Tobias the Never Nude Harris went 1 of 6, and TJ McConnell hit 1 of 1. No one else hit a fucking 3. That's wild. Ben Simmons attempted a buzzer-beating 3 as well. He went 5 of 15 from the field for this game. 17 points, 7 rebounds, 5 assists, and 3 blocks. Tobias Harris had 25. Redick had 26. Jonah Bolden got the start again in place of Joel Embiid. Didn't back up his career high last game. Talk about that later in the stream Playwatch. For the Mavs, Steve Nash was there watching them in this game, which was great. He got to watch his old mucker, Dirk, hang out. Dirk had 7 points. It's like, ah, oh, good on you, Dirk. Remember when you used to be good and I used to play? He had 7 points and 5 rebounds, did Dirk. 3 of 10. I don't know. Tough one, but still. Justin Jackson, the other Jackson, he had 24 points. Jalen Brunson had 13 points, 7 assists. Salah Majiri, he had 16 points and 14 rebounds and was getting MVP chance. And Trey Burke had 16 points, 6 rebounds and 5 assists and also got blocked into oblivion by Ben Simmons. Philly with that loss now 49 and 28, while Dallas at 31 and 46. And look, not a great idea to win this game because they need to keep losing and duck beneath the Atlanta Hawks. And also stay below the Memphis Grizzlies in the tank race to keep their pick. So Dallas, got to get losing. Got to drop these games. Don't know what you're doing. Utah smashed Charlotte as predicted, but it was 111-102. We'll talk about the tips and everything later in the show. Kemba Walker, though, went absolutely bananas. Went 1 of 5 down the stretch and kind of brought them back in it, which was wild. He shoots 15 of 28 from the field for 47 points. The rest of Charlotte were absolute fucking spuds. The rest of the starters had 6 total points, 3 of 14 shooting between them. Jeremy Lamb had 23 points off the bench, and big Willie Hernan Gomez had 15 and 8. But man, Charlotte stunk. For the Jazz, I believe it's actually the Yads, it's the soft J. Donovan fucking Mitchell had 25 points, 3 rebounds, 5 assists, and 4 steals. He was very good. Ricky Tiki Tata had 20 points and 13 assists. Rudy Gobert, the Staple Tower, had 18, 18, and 3 blocks. Jingling Joe Ingles had 5, 5, and 4, 15, 5, and 4, rather. And Thabo Sefolosha had the most amount of points he scored since 2017 with 14. Nice. When he's not out there getting his leg broke by NYPD, good NBA player. The Hornets are now 35 and 42, and Utah are 47 and 30, and hanging in tough in fifth. Cleveland, that's right, Stephen A. Smith.
Cleveland,
there we go. They lost in Phoenix 122-113. I mean, who watched this fucking game? I did. It was wild. Cavs no Kevin Love. He was out with shoulder soreness. The Sex Man had 21. Jordan Clarkson, mini J.R. Smith had 20. Tristan Thompson took a break from cheating on the mothers of his different children and scored 15 points. The Suns had a season-high 11 blocks. Devo Booker chucked in 8 of 18 shooting for 25 points and 13 assists. Josh Pacey Jackson was amazing. We'll talk about him a bit later. Mikal Bridges, that's it. Not Miles, he was in the Charlotte team. Yeah, he stunk. Anyway, 15 points, pretty good. 3 blocks, Rashawn Holmes, 13 and 10 with 2 blocks. And the Dragon Bender had 12 and 10 with 2 blocks. And the Suns get a win. Josh Jackson was fucking amazing in this game, though, at a couple of different parts. It was absolutely unreal. As mentioned, though, we'll talk about him in a bit. Cleveland, they dropped to 19 and 59. Phoenix move all the way up to 18 and 60. Just nipping at their heels. How good's that? So a bit of a playoff update. If the standings at the moment, the East, we would have the number one seed Milwaukee taking on Miami. Toronto versus Brooklyn. Philly versus Detroit and Boston versus Indy. But Orlando are only half a game back of Miami. And the Nets are only a half game up on them as well. So it's a bit tricky there at the East, I'll tell you what. So the Nets are one full game up on Magic. They're only a half game behind the Pistons. Boston and Indy are all tied up, but they play again, I believe, on Friday, so that'd be pretty good. The Nets and Magic have got 4 games left. The Heat and Pistons have 5, so you'd expect the Heat and Pistons to be okay. Magic, if they drop 1 or 2 more, it's probably over because of the games in hand, so just a bit of jockeying for positioning. Meanwhile, in the West, we've got Golden State versus OKC 1v8. Denver versus the Spurs 2v7. OKC and the Spurs are on the same actual record, though, 44 and 33. Portland would take on the Clips, and Houston would take on Utah. So there's like a weird little bit of separation. There's 2 games between the 3-4 spot, which is Portland and Houston, down to 5 and 6, which is Jazz Clippers, and then down to 7-8. So you've got like 3 different groups. Well, basically, it's 4 different groupings of 2 teams. You've got Golden State and Denver battling it out for the 1 seed. Golden State are 52 and 24. Denver are 51 and 25. And then 3 and 4 are all tied up. That's Portland and Houston, 49 and 28. 5 and 6, that's 47 and 30 for the Jazz and 47 and 31 for the Clips. Wow, so there's a half game there. And then, obviously, Spurs and Thunder are all tied up, 44 and 33. So still a lot of juggling to go in the West, one would assume. Pretty good, though. Pretty fun. All right, let's do it. Who was the NBA Australia Approved Performer of the Night, however?
Knife. That's a knife.
That's a knife. Evan Turner. How good was this? Evan Turner makes all five of his field goal attempts, finishing with 13 points, 11 rebounds, and 10 assists, becoming the first player in NBA history to come off the bench, shoot perfect from the floor, and post a triple-double. That is absolutely wild for the villain. I mean, holy shit. Evan Turner. Can you believe it? He's always the wild card, isn't he?
Why aren't the brakes working?
Because I cut the brakes! Wild card, bitches!
Yeah! Nice one. Also, like a couple of honorable mentions. Eric Bledsoe, as mentioned, put on a Bled show. He goes the 4x5. He has 29 points, 5 rebounds, 7 assists, 5 steals. Also 2 blocks. He was a big performer. Big night for the Bled show. And Kemba Walker, as mentioned, 47 points. 22 points in the last 5 minutes and 4 seconds. Also had 5... what was it? Jesus, like, out there absolutely doing everything. The rest of the Hornets... starting lineup scored 6 points. I mean, that leads us very quickly and very neatly, one would assume, into Old Mate No Mates.
Old Mate No
Mates.
Old Mate No Mates.
Old Mate No Mates.
Old Mate No Mates.
Old Mate No Mates. Who's got no mates today? Oh, is it Kemba Walker? I mean, holy shit, what more can he do? He scored 47 points. 47? 15 of 28 shooting, 4 of 8 from 3, 13 of 15 from the free throw line, had 3 assists, 5 rebounds, absolutely wild times. The rest of the starting lineup scored 6 points. 6 total points between the 4 of them. He's got no mates on his own fucking team. And if I'm Kemba, I'm looking at this and going, ah, hey man, fuck this, I'm out. I'd fake an injury, sit the rest of the year and make my money in New York or LA or something this summer. Jesus, Kemba, he's just going to be sitting there going, look, I know that our throwback uniforms today were sweet, but we got absolutely fucking pantsed. Because pantsing the night obviously goes to Charlotte once more, because that was an embarrassing, embarrassing loss. Once more, they've lost 3 straight on this road trip after winning 4 straight and giving them a little bit of a sniff at the playoffs. How was that? They did this insane run. They beat the Wolves, they beat the Celtics, they beat the Raptors and the Spurs. And you're like, oh, that's pretty great. We're almost going to make the goddamn playoffs. And then they got absolutely shit pumped by the Lakers. Then the Warriors beat them by 47. And then they lost to the Jazz today as well on the back-to-back. Absolutely brutal. Absolute pantsing. But also, we've still got Spud of the Night to go.
Spud, 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 it is Spud of the Night.
Spud of the Night. Terrence Ross went 2 of 10 versus his old team, the old Toronto Raptors. That's pretty Spud-worthy. The Bulls starters, not named Robin Lopez. Jesus, this was brutal. Walt Lemon Jr., he goes 3 of 12. Shaq, 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 Shaq. Shaq Harrison goes 3 of 11. Timothy Luolu Cabarro goes 3 of 10. And Wayne O'Seldon goes 5 of 12. That is absolutely wildly spud-worthy. That's so spud-worthy it could be Danny Frawley's backyard. What is that? That's 14, 4. Oh my God. 22 to a 4. 14 from 45 attempts. Jesus. That was pretty good math, just adding up in my head. So that's Spudworthy. All the Bulls starters, not named Robin Lopez. Chetty Osman also went 1 of 12 today, 0 of 6 from 3, and then fouled out with an amazing stat line of 3 points, 3 assists, and 6 fouls. Jesus. And but really, I mean, what else do you want to do? Do you want to go to the other Charlotte starters? Marvin Williams, 0 of 4. Miles Bridges, 0 of 5. Tasty, tasty Dwayne Bacon, 1 of 2. And Bismack Biyombo, 2 of 3. Absolutely wild for 6 points total between the 4 of them. Just fucking brutal, mate. It's so tough. All right, and finally, who was better than Trae Young / Lonzo Ball today?
Lonzo was the best player in high school. He was the best player in college. You think you're gonna get to the pros and be like, I made it to the pros, now I can be average. You're coming for everybody.
Coming for everybody, as long as it's my other son and it's Australia. That's right, better than Lonzo Ball today. Did you see the vague reports about LeVar Ball shooting the shit and saying, oh yeah, like my youngest son's probably gonna play in China or Australia. And everybody in Australia's like, fucking what? Huh? Since fucking when, you dickhead? And LeVar's like, oh, yeah, nah, it's balling season there.
It's balling season.
It's balling season. Do you know how much he get his ass fucking handed to him in the Australian League? That little fucking shit LaMelo. God damn. Also, how much has LeVar just ruined his fucking kids' lives at this point? $1.5 million just disappearing. His second son sucks. And the youngest one, he's been fucking flown around, played in Lithuania, all this sort of shit, when he could have just played high school ball, gone to college, had like a fucking vaguely normal childhood, and probably made the NBA. Like, what the fuck? Meanwhile, he's like swanning around the big baller league All-American game where there's like eight people watching, just frittering away Lonzo's money. You keep sitting there going, what the fuck is going on? Why has my dad ruined my life? Jesus. Anyway, so today's better than Lonzo Ball. How about Bam Adebayo? What a game. I mentioned this one. The 14th pick of the 2017 draft. That's 12 spots behind Alonzo there. 19 points, 14 rebounds, 2 assists, 2 blocks, 8 of 12 shooting, 1 of 1 from 3 and 2 of 2 from the free throw line. He was absolutely wildly good against the Celtics today. But also Josh Pacey Jackson. God damn. I've always loved me some Josh Pacey Jackson. If you listen to this program on the reg, you know that I've got a bit of a sus spot in the old hat for Pacey. He had a massive dunk on David Nwaba and then a block on Brandon Knight. Poor Brandon Knight just can't catch a fucking break. If he's not getting fucking dunked into oblivion by DeAndre Jordan, he's getting blocked into oblivion by Josh Pacey Jackson. He had 19 points, 10 rebounds, 4 assists, 1 steal, and 5 blocks to go 7 of 11 from the field and 2 of 3 from 3. What a great game. I mean, it was against the Cavs, and to be fair, they're basically a G League team, but still, Josh Pacey Jackson, that was fucking awesome. There you go. Both better than Lonzo Ball for today. Nice one. All right, we'll be back in a second with the NRs right after this.
Hi, this is Ryan Brockoff, and you're listening to NBA Australia.
Yeah! How good is that, House Hats? Have you gone to listen to their album yet, Running Out of Time? I can't stop listening to it. It's fucking great. I've been broken plays behind ENR every single day. They are big supporters of this program. Love me some House Hats. Go listen to their album. Running Out of Time, House Hats. They're fucking awesome. And every time I play this for ENR, I do a stupid little dance in the studio. Just dance along. Anyway, this is why I don't do a video podcast. I look like a fucking moron. All right, anyway, it's yeah, nah. We take a bunch of NBA storylines, decide whether they're more yeah or more nah. Number one, hey, should Devin Booker have won Player of the Week? Yeah, he fucking should have. He's now the first player in NBA history to average over 50 points for a week and somehow not win Player of the Week. This is wild. They gave it to Dame Lillard instead. I mean, sure, look, the Blazers went 3-1. Dame averaged 25 points, 5.8 rebounds, and 7 assists. Devin Booker averaged over 50 fucking points a game. I mean, I get that they lost all the games, but it's Player of the Week. It's not Team fucking Performer of the Week, is it? Jesus. That's wild. Absolutely wild. How does he not win that? I cannot believe that. Oh, man. Absolutely legendary fuck up, I would say. But anyway, Devin Booker. So, hey, his week as well. And it's not even just the points. Like, it was just crazy, crazy efficient in this week too, right? So, in the game against Utah, he has the, was it the 59-point game? Then against Washington, he has a 50-point game. And 48 against Memphis. Goes 19 of 34, that's 55.9%. 19 of 29 of the in the next two as well, that's 65.5%. Jesus, what more can the kid do? He averaged 52.3 points, 6.3 assists, and 5.7 rebounds, shooting 62% and 47.8 from three. Go fuck yourself. Like, if you don't think that's Player of the Week. Holy shit. Should Zion Williamson declare for the NBA draft? Yeah, probably. If you're going to be the number one pick, I think you should probably declare. Just saying. There were a couple of like, ha-ha-dee-ha-ha, April Fool's things like, oh, he's thinking about going back after taking the loss pretty hard. He might go back to Duke. And everyone's like, yeah, we see through the joke. It's April Fool's fuckheads. Yeah, so Zion will probably declare. Finally, is Big Simo Ben Simmons correct? What? Do you want to give me some context? Yeah, nah. Yeah. On who he has as the Rookie of the Year, he said Luka for sure. When he was asked why, he said, what do you mean why? Same reason as last year. He's playing better than the other guy. And yes, Big Simo is 100% correct. Luka is just better than Trae Young this year. As mentioned many times on this year's program and on our social media, it's Rookie of the Year, not Rookie of the last two fucking months. Some counting stats for you. 21 points versus 18.9 points a game. 42.5% from the field versus 41.6 for Trae. 32.7 for Luka from 3 versus 33.1 for Trae. 5.9 assists for Luka versus 8 for Trae. 7.6 rebounds for Luka versus 3.6 for Trae. 1.1 steals Luka, 0.8 for Trae. Jesus. 3.4 turnovers a game versus 3.9. Yeah, Luka, just a bunch better. And if you want to go to advanced stats as well, his PER is 19.3. That's better than 16.6. His VORP is absolutely wildly better, 3.3 versus 0.4. His BPM, which is what, box plus minus, right? It's minus 3.8, Jesus. 3.8 versus minus 1.4. Jesus, crops, mutt. That's absolutely bloody wild. I mean, holy shit. Yeah, the BPM is just absolutely crazy. Yeah, the box plus minus, look, it's always a bit wonky, but that's just a wildly massive difference. And I think there's one more. What do we got? Oh, yeah, win shares. 4.6 win shares for Luka versus 2.8 for Trae. So, yeah, give me Luka 100%. All right, which leads us to the unpopular opinion of the day.
Now, look at me, please. Look at me. Look at me. Look at me.
Look at me. Look at me. Look at me. For all the shit I give him about the ending of Space Jam 2 being him sitting on the couch watching the Warriors three-peat, I still think the early shutdown and the building a court on set of Space Jam 2 is going to be very, very, very fucking good for LeBron James. And he might come back and win MVP next year. Just saying, we all were like, oh, Michael Jordan did the same thing on Space Jam 1. And you know what? He used it to get in shape for the next season. He had a who's who of NBA dudes swing by for games all summer. And then he went on to win the title and the MVP. Ever get the feeling LeBron might just do the exact same, but also tamper like absolute buggery and end up with a new Lakers team that'll be somehow like him, Anthony Davis, Jimmy Butler, Kemba Walker, and Zion Williamson or something? That's 100% what's going to happen. He's going to use Space Jam 2 to tamper to absolute fuck. And just watch. He'll win the title and NBA MVP next year. But Jesus. So I think Space Jam 2 is actually a very good idea, I think is the unpopular opinion, because LeBron will probably use it as a great launching pad for the next season. Which leads us now to Outback Takehouse. It's Tuesday at Outback. And you know what that means? I don't know. I haven't looked at the menu. It's probably fries or some shit. In Australia, they just call them chips. Only at Outback. Goes great with a flame grill take. Today's flame grill take is, with all that said, and LeBron using Space Jam 2 as a springboard into next season to win the MVP. He also announced today that he's pulling out of this year's World Cup. And he's doing so at Outback because he's a coward and afraid of being beaten by Australia in Australia. Only at Outback. Wow, I reckon he is. I reckon LeBron is using this and going, all right, look, I've got Space Jam 2. I can't do the Australian tour and like play the World Cup. Sorry, Coach K. Sorry, Pop. But what I am going to do is make sure that if you guys do lose to Australia in the World Cup, I won't be available for the Olympics because I don't want to lose to the Australians in Delhi. Just saying. All right, Australian Player Watch right after this.
This is David Anderson. You're listening to NBA Australia.
All right, let's do it. Australian Player Watch. Big Simo, Ben Simmons. As mentioned in this loss to Dallas today, bit of a rough one, 5 of 15 shooting, also attempted a buzzer-beating three that didn't quite go in. 17 points, 7 rebounds, 5 assists, and 3 blocks. He was very good, though. Jonah Bolden, son of Bruce, not quite backing up a career-high night with 1 of 6 shooting. That's 0 of 4 from 3. 7 rebounds, 1 assist, and 1 block. The block was amazing. It was Simmons blocking... who was it? Trey Burke, one end. Well, you know, for the first one. And then the ball went to the trailer And Jonah Bolden blocked the shit out of him as well. It was the old double Aussie double block. It was great. Hopefully Jonah has a good game in his third game with Embiid missing. Jingling Joe Ingles today in the win versus Charlotte. He had 15 points, 5 rebounds, 4 assists. The 15 points all came from threes. He went 5 of 8 from the field, all of which were from long distance. Nice one. King Dela Mirabara, as mentioned, he's not with the team on this road trip. And Deng Adel did not get out there for the Cavs versus Phoenix today. Patty Thrills plays the Hawks tomorrow. Big Thon McCurr. That's right, Kung Fu Thon started in place for Blake Griffin today. Mentioned this at the top, but 14 points, 6 rebounds, 2 assists, and 4 blocks, including going 4 of 7 from downtown and hurdling a 6'8" Croatian. What a game. On you, Thon. That was great. A shame the Pistons couldn't win. Aaron Bangers Baines in the win over Miami today. He had 4 points, 11 rebounds. Unfortunately, shot 0 of 7 from the field and 0 of 1 from 3. But, you know, hit his free throws. That was good. 1 block for Bangers. Ryan Rowdy Brockhoff got another run out there today against Philly. He was going hammer and tongs. It was great to see. 15 minutes against Philadelphia and Big Simo and Jonah. 7 points he ends up with. 3 of 8 from the field. 0 of 2 from 3 and also chucked in 5 rebounds. Rowdy, you absolute star. He's his last 5 games when he's actually gotten some run. It's been 13 points, 15 points, 11 points, 9 points, and 7 points. Good stuff, Rowdy. Isaac Humphries plays tomorrow when the Spurs take on the Hawks, which should be great. And Mitch Creek did not get out there. He's a DMP CD versus Portland for his first game as a Minnesota Timberwolf. On you, Creaky. Let's get him out there soon, Minnesota. Let's do it. And Andy Bogut as well will probably be out there playing tomorrow for Golden State when they take on Denver. All right, so who is our hairy, sweaty guy of the week? We always do this. It's the old Mark Bradke Memorial. Let's do it. Sweaty, hairy guy of the week? How about Dario the Homie Saric? Yes, the day after 300 Philadelphia 76er fans serenaded him with MVP chants after their game. They all love him, the Sixer fans. He and Robert Covington, you know. They're all results of the process. But, man, that guy sweats a bit. Doesn't look like he's doing much either out there on the court, you know. But sweats like absolute the bejesus. And I thought it might just be his mo that makes him look like a kiddie fiddler crossed with Dick Van Dyke crossed with a Euro bad guy computer hacker from like Die Hard 5 or something. But nope, just really sweaty and kind of hairy. He's got those heavy old Euro brows and that wispy kind of hair. It's a weird combo, but he is a very sweaty, a very hairy guy as well. So Dario the Homie Saric, you are our sweaty, hairy guy of the week. And where in the world is this week? We're just going to go with Jack White, the Duke sharpshooter. Oh, geez. Still in the USA, obviously. That's where he is, down there in North Carolina. Unfortunately, only played a total of 6 minutes for Duke in the Sweet 16 in the Elite 8 games. 3 minutes in each and did not trouble the scorers. Didn't score a point, didn't do anything. Bit of a rough one for Jack, but he was a junior this year. Can't imagine that he'll declare, so we'll see how he goes and goes into it being a senior with Duke next year. What do you reckon? On you, Jack White. Not just a part of the White Stripes out there crushing it for Duke. Nice one. All right, we'll be back in a second with the Patty Mills Game Day Baller Game Day Twitter check-in and the game previews and picks brought to you by Sports Tips Australia.
G'day, this is PDX Pete. When I'm not sipping on IPAs or throwing down voodoo donuts, I'm tuning in to NBA Straya. Fuck yeah.
This is Andrew Bogut, and you are listening to NBA Straya. All right, we are back. Start with the Patty Mills Game Day Baller Game Day Twitter check-in, and nothing from Patty Mills today, but we did have a Dally tweet where he tweeted out, congrats at Isaac Humphries hand clap emoji as the Hawks tweeted out roster update. We have signed center Isaac Humphries for the remainder of the season. So Dally just jumping out there and congratulating his fellow Aussie for making the NBA. There's a great story by Olgan as well. If you go read that about how Isaac actually found out he was going to be an NBA player, it's really, really good. I highly, highly recommend it. So get around it. On you, Isaac Humphries. And well done, Dally, for congratulating him. All right, let's get to the game previews for tomorrow, shall we?
Game previews.
Thanks, Inadvertent Bane.
Not a problem. Let's get to it.
That's right. It's the game previews and picks brought to you by Sports Tips Australia. Head to their Facebook page and join up to score some insanely bang-on NBA tips day in and day out. So we are going head-to-head with them with two big tips each day. Their big tips for yesterday went 1 of 2. My two went 0 of 2. So they are leading 1-0 so far. That's right. My Utah over Charlotte did not go, and neither did my Nets +3.5 over the Bucks. It looked pretty good for a while. Sports Tips Australia's went Magic +8.5 against the Raptors. Just missed out as the Raps just sort of eventually overran the Magic pretty handily. But they did hit very easily on the Goran the Flog Dragic over scoring. So there you go. But the tips for tomorrow, the Wednesday tips, my two tips are the Rockets -5 against Sacramento in Sacramento. So just going with the spread. And then my other tip is OKC with a winning margin between 1 and 10 over the LA Lakers. And that's at $3.22 at the moment. Get around those two. We'll see how we go. Sports Tips Australia's two big tips are the Lakers +12.5 against OKC tomorrow. And the points over but in the Houston-Sacramento game, which at the time was 227. So there you go. Sports Tips Australia's two big tips are Lakers +12.5 over OKC. And the points over between Houston and Sacramento at 227. Nice one. All right, so let's go make the rest of the picks for tomorrow, shall we? We've only got 4 games tomorrow. That should be nice and quiet then, man. We'll be able to punch through this. So here we go. The Thunder are 12.5-point favorites against the Lakers. Obviously, I will take, you know what? I might actually go with the Sports Tips Australia tip there and actually take the Lakers +12.5. I've got a feeling the Thunder win, but it's going to be by only about 10 or so. The Thunder just can't really put teams away at the moment. Atlanta at San Antonio. Spurs are 11.5-point favorites at home against the Hawks. The Hawks can fill it up, so I'm going to take the Hawks +11.5. They can score with everybody, so I think they'll especially be able to score against the Spurs. The Spurs don't really absolutely belt teams, so I'll take the Hawks +11.5. The Rockets and Kings, as mentioned, the over-under points was one of the Sports Tips Australia bets. The Rockets, though, was one of my tips, -5. So I'm going to go with the Rockets -5 against the Kings. And finally, the Nuggets versus Warriors is an amazingly fun game. That's right. It's the top seeds in the West going hammer and tongs. Nuggets at Warriors. Warriors are 8-point favorites against the Nugs. And I will take the Warriors -8. The Nuggets have just looked a little bit discombobulated of late. And Jam and Jamal Murray might be out for this as well. So I will take the Warriors -8. Thank you very much. And there we go. Oh, shit. That's pretty bloody good. 4 games. Should be good. All right. So remember, make sure you like Sports Tips Australia on Facebook. And if you send them a message with the code STRAYA, they will sort you out with a free sign up. You get basically signed up to the subscribe to the rest of the for the rest of the season for their tips and everything. And it's amazing. So just send the code STRAYA to them through Facebook and away you go. Sports Tips Australia. Thank you for supporting NBA Australia and support those who support us. Get around it. And if you do sign up, you can score a $150 bonus bet with Ned. So bloody awesome. Just message the code Australia. Awesome. All right, let's do it. That's it for today. We are back tomorrow. Day in, day out. It's NBA Australia. Never stop, never settle. In the meantime, make sure you're following NBA Australia all over Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. We're all over the socials all the time. You know that. Chuck us a rating and review on iTunes, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, however you listen to it on your Android phone. Just smash 5 stars or I'll bash ya. Go on. No, I won't really, but I might. Tell a mate if they like NBA shit, they like getting cool tips, they like being in the know. Tell them to listen to NBA Australia, would ya? And also check us a follow on Spotify. Check us out on Stitcher, all that good stuff. Big thanks to From Oslo for the intro and outro song, but go check out their new band, House Hats. I mentioned it earlier. Their debut album, Running Out of Time, is out now. I've been smashing it nonstop for the last like 4 days. It's awesome. They're launching it April 12 at the Old Bar in Melbourne. I will be there. Probably shit-faced. Just saying. April 12 at the Old Bar. We're going to go see House Hats. Good shit. Also, big thanks to Fascinator, Ramshackle Army, Iowa, Sex Jedi, Green, 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 and Dozers for all the tunes you hear throughout NBA Australia. Give them a smash on Bandcamp and Facey and everything. And remember, NBA Australia supports Australian bands. And that's it for today. Stick around for a brand new Jingles HR.
after this one as he answers a question from Cool James D in New York City. And we will catch you tomorrow, you dickheads. This is NBA Australia saying, later, ho, oh, g'day, you jingler jokers. It's Joe Ingles here, head of Jingles HR, the official HR firm of NBA Australia, answering all your workplace-related questions. Yep, when I'm not sinking threes or buying more real estate in Paul George's head, I am the best HR professional you'll find out there, because nobody knows HR like the jingler. So, let's get to this week's question, shall we? It comes from Cool James D, that's a weird name, in New York City. It reads, "Hi Joe, why does everybody hate me? Cool James D, NYC." Oh, geez, it's a short one, isn't it? All right, well, thanks for writing in, Cool James D. Look, I'm going to guess that you're in management, or perhaps you own an organization, part of an ownership group or something like that. Just sort of sounds like it, you know. So, look, in my experience as a HR manager, unfortunately, it can be pretty hard for the people at the top of the organizational tree to not come across as aloof or disconnected from the people who work for them or utilize the services of their organization. See, that can also be quite troubling for people who, shall we say, like getting things their way and want people to like them, as you can no doubt imagine, Cool James D. So this can be tricky to navigate, especially when you spend your life in rarefied air among other folks of wealth and power and influence in management. I mean, I remember when I was just a lowly HR manager and I was trying to work my way up the corporate ladder. And once you sort of hang around a couple of those top HR managers, you can really tell the difference between them and your middle management, you know? So look, it can be quite hard to be friends with the worker bees in HR or anywhere else as part of your organization, you know? So here are some tips for you. Try to be relatable. Be friendly to customers, for one. I mean, a good place to start is to try not to ban people from your place of business for no reason and then lie about why you did it. You know, people seem to like that sort of stuff. I mean, you could start a band. People like music. I mean, really, all it comes down to is if you act like a human being, people generally want to react to you like one as well. You know, it's pretty simple. I mean, as we say here at Jingles HR, if management are kicking people out of the building for no real reason, I mean, what customers are we going to have? Actually, what we do say is you catch more customers with honey than bad jazz rock songs. So look, once you start thinking like that, Cool James D, and by also making sure you don't infuriate all your customers by acting like a bit of a tool, you'll be back on your feet in no time. I mean, I can't promise people will like you, as you do kind of seem like an unlikable nerd loser, but maybe people will put up with you at least a little bit more. Okay, I hope that helps you out, Cool James D, and that's all for this week. We'll be back with Jingles HR next week on NBA Australia. Until then, I've been Joe Ingles. Get back to work and get a dog up ya.